from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Williams, pressure coming. He felt it. Looked, saw it, evaded it. Still on the move. Looking around. Williams is going to take off for the end zone.
It's like it's its own playground. That field is his playground.
We're back with more of the Score Afternoon Show with Matt Spiegel and Anthony Herron on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app.
Thank you so much, Rick Party. In an hour, we will talk to Chris Emma about Bears practice today, and we will hear from Matt Eberflus. You'll hear about Montez Sweat and more. And a little bit in the 5 o'clock hour, we'll touch on the former Cubs superstar who is back in town. He's going to be spending a whole week in town, as a matter of fact. But interesting conversation with Paul Papst from the Dan Patrick Show, and he said that he doesn't care about success team-wise. He just wants to know they have the guy. And I think that is not the correct perspective for this particular Bears season. Before we get to some of these other young quarterbacks, just want to get you on the record. I think this is a win now team who has, you know, with a team that has been built to take advantage of quarterback on a rookie deal. I'm not saying they have to be what the Texans were with CJ Stroud, or they have to be what the Niners were with a rookie Colin Kaepernick, or what they have to be what Seattle was with a rookie Russell Wilson, but that's three examples in the last decade about what's possible when your defense is really good and when the whole roster around you is good and you're coached with discipline. So to me, this is a win now moment for the Bears. And I think 10 wins is completely within the realm of what to hope for and expect. And that my gauge of success is on winning this year right now.
And I think, you know, go back even a little further than that to, you know, Ben Roethlisberger on his rookie deal. And, you know, I think there's been a variety of quarterbacks. So Flacco on his rookie deal. I mean, it certainly has happened before when a team, regardless of how historic the talents of the quarterback is perceived, that opportunity to take advantage of that window of time when you got the extra money to spend, it's beneficial to the organization when you can do it. And there are additional factors in that beyond just the QB rookie deal. You have a head coach. I mean, one of the concerns that I had, that I'm sure I heard other people voice as well, was you're going to have a coach in his third season. This is a win-it year for Matt Eberflus. Not win it all, but prove you can coach. Prove you can win games at a high level in leading the Bears. Mm-hmm. And, you know, his job security will come into question if they're not achieving at a high level this year in a more realistic way, in a more plausible way than it did early last season. And between Eberflus in year three and Caleb and the additional money that's got spent, Ryan Poles has put a roster together that should have big expectations regardless of how deep the division is.
I think so, absolutely. And you've got a quarterback who, while of course he needs to get better and learn the ways of the NFL, is not a developmental prospect in the way that Justin and Mitch were. It doesn't appear to be a developmental prospect who, like, needs to learn how to do certain things, you know,
he's
from the ground
up. He's certainly a better prospect than either
one of them. Yeah, yeah. But it's like, I mean, so look, I want him to develop, but that is not the principal focus of this season to me. I mean, watching him and seeing him grow will be fun, and I'll be very passionately interested, but I want to watch this team compete and win games.
I do feel like, and I don't think you're alone in this regard, I do think yours and a lot of people's perspective are reshaped a bit by C.J. Stroud from last year. There's such a recent example of a rookie quarterback coming in and being able to win at a high level that now it's just got that at the forefront of our minds, so much more readily available to say, oh, it's possible. Like, that can happen. And maybe we have one of those guys. You know, Caleb Williams is regarded higher than C.J. Stroud was when he came out of the draft. C.J. wasn't even the number one pick in last year's draft cycle. So if he can do that with that team, why can't Caleb do something similar with this team? But the situations are still even slightly, but they are different between the two.
Okay, well, we can talk about that. Lord knows that's the backdrop for this moment of optimism and this moment of expectation is finding the nuance there of, like, are you about the quarterback expectation? Are you about the team expectation? After those things have been battling.
I shudder to assume too much about Caleb's rookie season success. Even him being impressive through a couple of preseason games, I'm still hesitant to just, like, think that, well, yeah, remember that first year Mahomes started? He was kind of a rookie, right? But he wasn't kind of a rookie. He was a second-year quarterback who had gotten to sit behind.
Sure.
Greatness, but gotten, like, to be trained by one of the best of all time.
But I remember last year in the offseason when everybody was, like, hoping for Justin Fields to take the leap, and if he did, what could happen and everything. I remember talking with people and being like, all right, so what do you think? Like, oh, this could be 10 wins. I said, you'd take 7 wins and feeling good about the quarterback. And they all said, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely I would. I don't think Bears fans will be happy with 7 wins and feeling good about the quarterback. Not when, like, Poles has had so much time to build this team and this defense is supposed to be better than that.
Yeah, I think that's mostly true. Like, if Caleb is really scintillating and they win 7 games, that's still going to be a nice feeling to fall back on. Kind of the Joe Burrow thing, the Justin Herbert thing, that'll still be there. If you get a scintillating Caleb that for some reason in this deep division, he can't, like, out-duel Detroit in the second half of the year and can't out-duel Green Bay in the second half of the year. But, man, was he good, and the Bears only won 7 or 8 games and missed the playoffs. I could see that being palatable for this year. But in the end, will that keep Matt Eberflus's job? I think that's still a separate conversation.
Sure it is.
Because there are legit expectations with the squad.
You know what it sounds like? It sounds like a thought experiment.
Who used to like those?
I don't know.
This show, there was an element of this show that used to really enjoy.
Who?
Thought experiments.
What are you talking about?
I don't know. Something about it feels familiar.
You're listening to Spangler Company right here on 670 The Score. Anthony Herron is first up yesterday and today. Gabe Ramirez tomorrow. All right. So talk to me about Caleb's preseason that we have seen, and we've learned earlier today that it is now complete. Okay?
Boo!
I know. And then talk to me about Jaden Daniels' preseason, because Jaden Daniels just had, what, 78 yards, completed 10 of 12 and 13 yards on the ground on a couple of carries. They're feeling great in Washington. And we can talk about Bo Nix as well. Nix has been leading the Broncos on 6 different scoring drives, 23 of 33 for 205 and 2 touchdowns with no picks. And Bo Nix real good his last time out, 8 of 9 for 80 yards and a touchdown, also 3 carries for 12 yards. So you've got at least 3 quarterback towns, as Anthony works diligently to unhook his microphone cable from the chair and then resumes his place in the chair. Anthony's sitting back in the chair. It's 4:10 here on 670 The Score. I see my play-by-play chops getting a workout. Here. I mean, I'd like to hear Pat Hughes doing play-by-play of Ron Coomer getting in and out of his chair.
Maybe he has.
I bet he has. Pat Hughes doing play-by-play of Ron Santo's hair being on fire when his toupee caught on fire. It's one of the all-time greatest pieces of tape that has ever existed.
Okay.
Yeah. And
look forward to hearing that.
One of the greatest things of all time.
Okay.
But anyway, should Bears fans and Commanders fans be in the same kind of boat? And is it getting received that way? I look to your NFL institutional knowledge for your thoughts.
Because of what the Bears are to the sports world, because of the way they move the meter, I think we almost don't appreciate it enough in this town how much interest there is in the Bears beyond Chicago. I mean, there's a reason where we kind of joked about it on this station a decent amount in recent years of, like, oh, why are the Bears getting all these national TV games? Why early in the season they're getting Monday Night Football and Sunday Night Football? They're opening up on this channel and that channel. It's because the nation deeply cares about the Bears. The Bears are consumed in a way that if there is sustained success from the Bears, then they'll be the squad that every debate show can't stop talking about endlessly, because they are such an interesting brand, such a historic brand that just haven't achieved at that level consistently. And so now there's this opportunity here. And for Caleb, he seems more than capable emotionally and mentally to handle that, to sustain that.
That's been incredibly impressive. Yeah. And I would agree with that assessment. And
he's going to be tasked with shouldering that in a different way than his other top 10 pick teammate, Rome Odunze, like we discussed a bit yesterday, but differently than any other quarterback who was drafted in this cycle as well. And that's one of the differences between the situation he's in and Jaden Daniels, or the situation he's in mm-hmm. and Bo Nix, because he's with Chicago and because he's with a team that has had a roster that's been built over multiple seasons and a head coach that himself seemingly has been in the process of developing over multiple seasons and now has an organization that moved on from the last offensive coordinator and now has brought this guy in who's tasked with developing him. And so there's expectations that will fall on the team as a whole and fall on Caleb individually, where the other quarterbacks of this cycle and really the last couple of cycles will pale in comparison to how they're perceived versus the expectations that accompany Caleb Williams.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
So Jaden Daniels has a softer landing because of the expectations and because of the national glare.
Very much so. The harsh national glare that comes with being the Bears quarterback and being Caleb Williams as the Bears quarterback because of all the acclaim he brought into this circumstance. And you know, no one following the Commanders, there's not the depth of passion, the depth of consumption in Washington for what Jaden Daniels is doing. Like him being announced the starter the other day, I mean, he's an NFL quarterback. He was a Heisman winner. So, I mean, it gets headlines, but they don't move the meter. There's not this moment by moment following of every move that Jaden Daniels makes in the
same way. I think locally there is, in terms of Washington, knowing my sister lived in D.C. for a while and knowing some Washington media folks, I think there is a used-to-be Redskins, now Commanders obsession of sorts. I think it was damaged by the Daniel Snyder ugliness, but that part is gone. So there's a bit of a local obsession, but certainly not the national obsession right, like you're talking about. And certainly not the expectations of competition and at least decency, if not winning. Yeah. People expect the Bears to be decent and to be competitive, without a doubt. And
Jaden
Washington
Daniels
is not that
has
way.
A QB room with Marcus Mariota in it, who's viewed as the guy who we were kind of wondering, would the Bears accompany Caleb Williams with some veteran who's already sort of past his prime, who's had his window and missed that opportunity? Yeah. Would he get the old head who could come in and just sort of help nurture his talents along? Jaden Daniels has that in Washington for Marcus Mariota, a guy who's still capable, but he's not a threat to Jaden Daniels to be the future of that organization. Caleb doesn't have that. In Chicago, he comes in, and day one, they say, you're the guy. It was the right call. It makes sense. You don't need to mess around with a guy like Caleb Williams in here in this franchise, this roster that's ready to roll right now. Mm-hmm. But it's different than the situation Jaden was in Washington, where he was tasked with competing, quote unquote, and he earned the job. And there's something to be said for how that impacts the locker room to see him have to play well before being named the starter.
So from the psychological perspective of what Caleb is expected to do and deal with and what Jaden Daniels is expected to do and deal with, don't you think, because I do, that a quarterback can crumble in absolutely any market? That a quarterback can be overwhelmed by the ask of the position, the demands of the position, and the glare of even just the local market. And if they don't have it, they don't have it. And they can especially as rookies, I'm talking about developing as rookies. Maybe it's a different thing if you've been somewhere with a massive following and then you leave there and you go somewhere that's smaller and you have a different level of expectations. But like, I mean, Johnny Manziel was going to implode in Cleveland just as he would have imploded in Los Angeles.
Right.
You know, like that dude was due to implode. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the makeup that we're seeing in Caleb, like he's gonna handle it here as he would have handled it in Jacksonville.
Yeah, if Caleb doesn't succeed here, I don't believe it'll be because of the pressure. You know, I don't think he seems wired in a way where he'll be able to handle that harsh glare of expectation.
He was just the returning Heisman winner in Los Angeles.
Right.
You know,
right.
And played at a pretty damn high level.
Now, by comparison between Jaden and Caleb on the field, though, I feel like what I expected is playing out so far just through a couple of preseason appearances that they've each had, where their style of play, even though they're both multidimensional talents, Jaden Daniels is a guy who can extend the play, who can take off and run at an extremely high level, even more mobile, more straight line speed than Caleb has. But the refinement of his skills for the amount of football he played in college, being a guy who played 5 years, being not only a Heisman Trophy winner, but a guy who was with multiple offensive systems, didn't just have the one head coach at two stops like Caleb did. Jaden had to learn multiple offensive systems in college and just played so many snaps of college football from his true freshman season on through the time where he finished at LSU. And that matters. That time on task is a part of what the refinement of Jaden Daniels' game, I think, has showed up from within the pocket in a different and enhanced way versus what we've seen from Caleb.
Yeah, it'd be fascinating to know and worth checking in on some of these other football markets where the young quarterback is there, like what they're seeing, you know, because do we feel as good about Caleb from the pocket and going through progressions and, you know, identifying pass rushers, moving guys around? Do they feel as good about that stuff with Jaden Daniels and Bo Nix right now? Are they seeing enough of that, or are they seeing a little bit more of the swashbuckling, freewheeling, making plays on the fly thing? Because we're also seeing that with Caleb.
Yeah, Jaden Daniels so far in Washington in the preseason hasn't shown a whole lot of swashbuckling. Yeah, he's taken off and run a few times, but not much. He is as refined from the pocket as Bo Nix or any of his other contemporaries in this cycle, as Drake May, even more so. You know, like the comparison I was making between Caleb and Jaden when they came out, Caleb has a higher ceiling, but Jaden does have a very high ceiling and is more refined in his game because he's just played more. Between the two of them from the opening game this season, Jaden, I believe, will be the guy who shows more comfort within the pocket, who shows more consistency within the pocket than Caleb. I do feel like Caleb has certainly shown some nice things, some qualities from within the pocket that the Bears will continue to build off of. But what I love about what Shane Waldron has done so far is that he hasn't forced Caleb to just sit in the pocket as this stationary target. He's called him into movement very frequently, far more than the percentage of times Luke Getsy was doing that with Justin Fields or Matt Nagy was doing with Mitchell Trubisky. It's one of these things. It's very simple that for whatever reason, play callers get into this lazy habit of saying, let's force the guy to read the full field, even if they haven't shown they're capable of that in their development yet. Jaden Daniels, all the football he played in college, Tom Brady had some thoughts on that. There's some sound from Tom Brady with him recently just talking about QB development and what he termed as a tragedy in the development of the quarterback, with them being forced onto the field early and the way that the game sort of gets dumbed down to force to play them early because they feel this urge to get them on the field right away. And so with that, then they got to sort of dumb it down to play this collegiate style of football, which doesn't always fail, but it doesn't enhance the way the guy is developed and learning the game early in their careers.
All right, so two items on this, and it speaks in Ann Heron talking through these young quarterbacks with Bo Nix and Jaden Daniels and, of course, our Caleb Williams. In terms of supporting cast, with the Broncos, Javonte Williams, a fine running back. Cortland Sutton, a good wide receiver. I like Cortland Sutton.
Yeah.
Josh Reynolds, the former Lion and the former Ram. Josh Reynolds, right?
Yeah.
Now there as a wide receiver two or three, Tim Patrick there. I mean, it's not what Caleb has here, but it's not garbage.
Uh-huh.
It's not garbage by any stretch. Yeah. In Washington, Jaden Daniels has Brian Robinson Jr. and Austin Eckler there now. I forget that Austin Eckler is there as a running back. And he's got a real legit number one in Terry McLaurin. I love Terry McLaurin.
Lots of love.
Terry McLaurin gives me DJ Moore vibes. Yeah. You know, Jahan Dotson there, and then De'Ami Brown is the number three there, along with Jamison Crowder. So in terms of supporting cast, Caleb is a far better supporting cast than either of them, right?
Yep.
You'd credit that. Is it possible that all three of them are hits? Is it possible that we are looking at one of those rare draft classes where all three of them are hits? Or if one of them is a mirage so far, who's the mirage?
But Bo Nix is the guy who I have the least faith in his development arc, just between the three of them. I just don't think he's as good a prospect as either of the other two guys, sort of, you know, regardless of the talent surrounding them. And Caleb not only has the highest ceiling, was the most well-regarded prospect, but is also surrounded by the best talent and is in the best situation. And to be judged by wins and losses and to be judged by statistics, he's in a position that's rare for rookie quarterbacks where he has the potential to achieve both. He has the surrounding cast and the organizational infrastructure that's set up to achieve both. And you don't usually see a rookie quarterback, certainly not a rookie number one overall pick, who's in that scenario where they've really got a chance to do both. There's been rookies who've won at a high level. There's few who've put up huge stats and won at a high level. That's been a rare breed who's been able to do that. And Caleb's in a position where he could maybe do both.
Hey, tonight the Cubs begin their series at home against the Detroit Tigers. Pregame coverage starts right here at 6:30. First pitch at 7:05 on the Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network. Late in the 5 o'clock hour, we will talk about Javi Baez, who's back with the Tigers, and we'll see if Javi speaks over at the ballpark. He has arrived over there. But look, when we come back, I want to continue this conversation about quarterbacks, and let's get into some of that training and some of that teaching and some of that coaching, as it's been in the news of late, with both Caleb and around the NFL. It's Spiegs and Ann Heron on 670 The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.